not only did the Ribbono Shel Olam create the world from an ayin, a yesh from an ayin, but we believe that the Ribbono Shel Olam, after having created the world, is mashgiach on what's mashgiach on what's happening in the world. And not only is he mashgiach, meaning to say that he looks and knows what is happening, but we believe that he determines what is going to happen. It's for that reason that the Gemara says in Nida that when a person, the malach brings, the seed that a person eventually is going to be conceived from in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and asks the Ribbono Shel Olam what's going to be with this, semen that is eventually going to create a child. Is it going to be a smart one, not a smart one? Is it going to be tall or short, rich or poor? The only thing it does not, which is not predetermined by the Ribbono Shel Olam, is if the person is going to be a tzaddik or a rosha. But basically, what happens in the world is determined by the Ribbono Shel Olam. So, we are living through, a difficult period and difficult times. And, I mentioned last night, I don't know, the world has been paralyzed by, a little bug that you can't even see, and it has paralyzed the whole world. We see the Yad Hashem. And something like this, that a whole world, but literally a whole world, has been affected by something, to me, I don't think something like this has ever happened since the Mabul. There was a bubonic plague, but that wasn't all over the whole world. That was only in, segments in all of Europe and part of Asia. But, it didn't spread all over the world. And here you have something that, has spread all over the world and, as I said before, paralyzed the world. And something like this has not happened. And you see, in my mind, so clearly the mastery of the Ribbono Shel Olam here over a world. So what I'm trying to say is there's such a thing as Hashgacha. I mentioned earlier on, and I want to reiterate that, and I'm saying it for a purpose. I think early on, we in this community, in our community of Baltimore, special community of Baltimore, we took precautions. And, they were severe restraints on our way of life, and I think that we can say that because of the precautions that were taken, there were many lives, Baruch Hashem, that were saved. And I would like to say, if you look around the country, and you'll see that the communities that took precautions early on were, Baruch Hashem, dealt with differently than communities that did not do that. So what it seems to be saying is that what man did, in our case, I'm talking about our community, what we did made a difference. Now, what I'm asking, what I'm trying to explain right now is, does that in any way mean that we, as a, I'm talking about as a frum community, are a better community than other communities that Nebuch have suffered, and have suffered terribly. Is that what we should be taking from this? And the answer to me is, I'm not talking, I don't know who's a better community or worse community. I don't want to say, I don't even want to talk that way. But it certainly does not mean that. In my mind, it means, just as I said before, that we took precautions early, and early on, the Rabbanim, I think, spearheaded this and worked as a group together. We talked in one with one voice, and everybody said the same thing, and tried to impress upon their mispalalim, the members of their communities, and we worked therefore together. The whole Yahadus, the Frum community of Baltimore, worked together, and we were able to, Baruch Hashem, hopefully, and it should be the will of the Rabbeinu Shalom, and it should continue like that, we weren't affected the same way that some other communities were. That's what I would refer to as hishtadlus. Is that a stira to hashgocha? If we believe in hashgocha, then does it mean to say that the Rabbeinu Shlalem is saying that, well, we're a better community than another community that did suffer, that is suffering? Is that what it means? Because if it doesn't mean that, then it would seemingly would have to mean it's because we did something and somebody else didn't do something. Now, that takes away seemingly the hashgocha of the Rabbeinu Shlalem. And the answer to my question, and I think that this is an extremely important, it's extremely important for us to understand. And I'm going to start with just an example. If a person is a maimon in the Rabbeinu Shalom, and not only does he believe in the Rabbeinu Shalom, but he believes that the Rabbeinu Shalom knows what is happening, and what's happening to me is determined by how I act and how I don't act. I'm talking about how I act as a Frum Yid or not, don't act as a Frum Yid. So can I say, look, I have to support my family, my children, my wife and children, and myself. We need food. The only way for that to happen is if I have a job or I do something to earn a parnosa. Is that doing something against the hashgacha of the Rabbeinu Shalom and me having bitochen in the Rabbeinu Shalom and then me going to work? And I think all of us know that the answer to that is there is hashgacha, that's an aleph in our belief, but the Rabbeinu Shalom, when it comes to things that lie, that we refer to, I'm using a word, there isn't a word like this in Tanakh, but that when you act b'derech hateva, the way for a person to earn money is by getting a job, by doing something for his parnosa, even if it's not a job, but doing something for his parnosa, making what we refer to as hishtadlus. And the way the Rabbeinu Shalom is mashgiach on us very much is determined by our hishtadlus. If man doesn't want to be mishtadl, then the Rabbeinu Shalom is not going to be mashgiach in him, in a certain way, in a kind way, because the Rabbeinu Shalom wants man to be mishtadl. So, without any question, there's hashgacha from the Rabbeinu Shalom, and that's the aleph of our emunah. But at the same time, the Rabbeinu Shalom wants us to be mishtadl. And if we don't do ishtadlus, the proper ishtadlus, and in this case the proper ishtadlus was you know, to take the precautions and you know, apply the protocols that were asked for by the authorities, by the whoever it was, though that was the hishtadlus on our part for the Rebbeinu Shalom to be mashgiach and look at us, you know, with kindness and with chains. So one is not a stira to the other, and we just can't believe on the one hand in koichi v'aitzim yodi, I can do and I'll prevent something from happening. If the Rebbeinu Shalom wants something to happen, it's going to happen regardless of the myriad of precautions you take. You know, it'll happen. Some way or other, it's going to happen, and the Rebbeinu Shalom can do whatever he wants to. And we can't believe in the koichi v'aitzim yodi. But at the same time, it says, "V'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael me'aretz Mitzrayim." Although the Rebbeinu Shalom was with them, but they took arms as best as they could. They might not have had tanks. They might not have had missiles. They might have had just a rifle. You know, kaviyah, the same type of a situation. Doesn't make a difference. That's our hishtadlus. We needed to make a hishtadlus. And when you do your part, then the Rebbeinu Shalom looks at you in a certain way. So people make, you know, mistakes. First of all, you know, we, Baruch Hashem, it happened because we took the hishtadlus. You know, we did what we were supposed to do. It's true. But it's a hishtadlus knowing that that's what the Rebbeinu Shalom wants us to do. And when you do your part, then the Rebbeinu Shalom looks at us with a certain, you know, with a favor, with a degree of favor, if he wants us to, you know, to stay and to stay alive and to stay well. I think it's an extremely important concept here, and we can't forget both concepts at the same time. Have a good evening, everybody. Maybe, as I ask every night, if you can introduce yourself, just so I can say hello to everybody, I'd appreciate it.
Mordechai,
I'm going to unmute everybody. No. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to unmute everybody.
Good evening, Mordechai.
Are you able to hear me?
Yes.
Okay. What I'd like to do, and I discussed it, I think, last week, is just first say a short vart on the parsha and then a short dvar halacha together that, you know, that we learned something together. In this week's parsha, the Torah talks about the mitzvah of Yahavta L'Reacha Kamoicha in Parshas Kedoshim. This week's parsha is Achrei Mois Kedoshim. So I would like to just learn and, you know, say over a Gemara that I think everybody has heard and everybody has known, but there's a difficulty there, and I would like to explain that. The Gemara talks about a goy who came to Hillel, first to Shammai, and asked him to teach him the Torah while he stands on one foot. Meaning to say, he's asking Shammai to tell him the basics of the Torah, and you can't stand on one foot for a long period of time, so it's got to be obviously very short, where you can give me a synopsis of the whole Torah. And Shammai sort of drove him away, because if that's the way the person's attitude is towards what Yadus is about, that you can tell him everything in a couple of words, it doesn't bode good for this person's gerus. And therefore, he drove him away. He came to Hillel, and Hillel told him the following: "Madasoni loch L'chavrach loisavid. And I'm learning now the way Rashi understands it in the Gemara. Something that is abhorrent to you, something that you don't want to be done to you, l'chavrach loisavid. Don't do that to your chaver. If you wouldn't want it to be done to you, then don't do it to your chaver. Don't do the same thing to your chaver. Which, v'idoch and the rest, is pirushahu, is just explanation. It's commentary, zilgamar, the rest you'll learn by yourself. Meaning to say, I'm giving you the basics of the Torah, and you then extrapolate from what I've, from these basics, and you can learn, you'll be able to learn the rest of the Torah as well. This is really the negative. If I would put it in a positive, it's what the Torah says, v'yohavta l'reacha kamocha, and do to your friend as you would like be done to yourself. And just like you want something good to be done to yourself, that's the way you should treat your friend, v'yohavta l'reacha kamocha. Now, you know, we have two parts to the Torah. There are mitzvahs ben adam l'amokam, and there are mitzvahs ben adam l'chaveroi. And I can understand that v'yohavta l'reacha kamocha, which Rabbi Akiva says, zekla godol b'Torah, that is the basis of all the mitzvahs ben adam l'chaveroi. But for me to keep Shabbos, and for me to keep kosher, and for me to keep the laws of Taras HaMishpocha, or whatever they are, Shatnez, those things, what do they have to do with V'yahavta l'reacha kamocha? Those are mitzvahs ben odom l'amokam, and they seemingly would not fall into the category of Pirusha. That's an explanation of that concept of V'yahavta l'reacha kamocha. So how could Hillel say, V'idoch pirusha hu zil gemar? The rest is all commentary. Where is that a commentary? And so what I would like to say is the following. What I'm saying, by the way, is not my own. This is something that's written in the Sefer HaTanya. And he says a remarkable thought. You know, a person is born, a person is a selfish being. That's the way most people are, you know, and it's not because I was raised in with a family that was selfish and therefore I am selfish. You can have very giving parents and benevolent parents. If you see two little kids, And you could see how kids play. They weren't yet influenced by their parents, but they grab a toy away from the other one, or, you know, they don't let somebody have their own toy. They don't want to share. Those are things that people are born with because you're born with those tendencies of a certain degree of selfishness. So how could the Torah tell me v'yohavta l'reacha kamocha? Where, what are we asking and demanding of a person? Or let me better say, how does a person get to v'yohavta l'reacha kamocha? So, what I would like to say, I would like to give you a mushel. If I'm trying to bang a nail in with a hammer, and, you know, I'm holding the nail. At first, you have to hold the nail in place to start banging it a little, and then you can take your hand away and bang a little harder. But first, you know, you have to get the nail in a little, and you have to hold it in its place. So what do? You hold it with your left hand, the nail, and you bang with the hammer with your right hand if you're a righty, and then you do your job. If somebody has two left hands, So, you know, sometimes you can hit your thumb with your left hand, with your hammer. So I want to ask you something. Does your left hand get angry at your right hand? Why did you hit me? Why did you hurt me? You know that does not happen. Why doesn't it happen? You might just look at yourself and say, why am I such a klutz? But the left hand doesn't get angry at the right hand because the left hand and the right hand all belong to one person. And there's no such a thing as an individual who's a left hand and an individual who's a right hand. When you get upset at somebody is when you get upset at another person because he is different than me. He's not me. I'm this person and you are your person. And then you become selfish. You want yourself and you think of yourself instead of thinking before thinking about somebody else. That's where selfishness comes in. If me and the other person would be the same, right, then it would be like a right hand and a left hand. In the Sifrei Kabbalah, they talk about that Adam HaRishon was created with a super neshama. And all of the neshamas in Klal Yisrael that there are, my neshama, your neshama, everyone who's listening to me right now, everybody in Klal Yisrael, their neshamas all came from one big neshama, Adam HaRishon's neshama. And from different parts of the neshama, just like there's a right hand and a left hand, there's a right part of a neshama and a left part of the neshama, different parts of the neshama. But they're all one. They're all from one neshama. So what Hillel was trying to tell this person, and this is really the concept of the Ahavta L'Re'acha Kamecha, the more spiritual a person is, meaning to say, what creates selfishness is my body, me. You know, my body wants something, and therefore doesn't want somebody else to have it. And that's when me and you are just, I'm my body and you are your body. That's when selfishness comes into play. But if you would look at yourself as a spiritual person, the person who you are is really your neshama, then my neshama and your neshama are really, we come from one place, we're one. So what Hillel was really trying to tell this potential ger was that you have to understand everything about life is that we're spiritual people. A spiritual people is not selfish. A spiritual person doesn't get angry. A spiritual person is modest. A spiritual person is benevolent. That's what a spiritual person is. So both Ben Odom LaMokam and Ben Odom LaChaveroi are all the same. He's telling him that the avoida of a person, the work of a person, is to be not an Odom Gashmi, but to be a more of an Odom Ruchni. We have physical bodies, yes, and we're not Malochim, but spirituality is what the Rabbanu Shel Olam wants from us, to be more, you know, Anoshim Ruchniim than Anoshim Gashmiim. So that's really what Hillel was telling this potential Ger. So everything, Bein Odom LaMokom, Bein Odom LaChaveroi, is really what I would say a commentary to that one yesod. If I could just start briefly, I see I talked too long about, but let me just briefly start talking just a little about Hilchos Shabbos, and let me just say something. The Torah says that a person is not permitted to do a malacha on Shabbos. You're not permitted to do work. What does work mean? Work means what Chazal said. They really knew this from Psukim and from Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. When it says in the Torah, don't do work on Shabbos, it's what we refer to as the Lametes Malachas, 39 malachas. So I'm going to talk about, let's say, one malacha right now, cooking or baking. A person is not permitted to cook or bake on Shabbos. So I want to familiarize yourself with, because, you know, over the weeks or months, the Rebbein Shem should help. You know, there's something called an Isser Deraisa, and there's something called an Isser Derabbanon, something that the Torah says you're not permitted to do, or either says clearly, or we know it from derived from a Pasuk, or Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, and then there's something that the Rabbanon made a Gzera about. We're living through a time of Gzeras, you know, when there are, we've asked people to take precautions, those are Gzeras, where you're afraid if you get closer to somebody, then something might happen. So you say, go further away, and it's therefore less apt to happen. So the Rabbanan made Gzeres. So I'm going to ask you a question. If I put a piece of meat on the stove, Erev Shabbos, and it gets cooked on Shabbos. I did not put it on Shabbos. I put it on Erev Shabbos. Shabbos is 6 o'clock, let's say, and I put the piece of meat, a raw piece of meat, on the stove at 5:55, 5 minutes before the start of Shabbos. Did I do something wrong, min hatorah? Was I over an isser? Did I violate a prohibition of not doing malacha on Shabbos? You can unmute yourself and answer the question. I'd appreciate it.
No, because I would think that the isser would be that you can't cook on Shabbos.
The food is being cooked. So listen to what I'm asking. The food is being cooked on Shabbos, is it not?
Yes, it's being cooked on Shabbos.
Yes, you're right. So you were correct. What you're not permitted to do is do an act of making the food be cooked, which means you cannot put something on the stove on Shabbos or in the oven on Shabbos. The act that you do has to be done on Shabbos, not Erev Shabbos. So, and that goes for every malacha. If I open up a dam and the water comes out and it irrigates fields, I did not do anything wrong at all, because the water is coming by itself now and I am not irrigating a field. The field is becoming irrigated, but I am not irrigating a field. The action of irrigating is only if I would open up that dam on Shabbos itself. Then I'm doing an act of watering my fields, you know, that enables them to grow, which the ground to grow, because of the act that I did. That's what's osur on Shabbos. I'm talking about min hatorah. But when I don't do an act on Shabbos, when it's done Erev Shabbos, although it's becoming cooked on Shabbos, although my field is becoming irrigated on Shabbos, but I didn't do an act on Shabbos, and that's not within the framework of Leisasa Kol Malocha, not to do work. Okay, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, we'll continue Belineder next week. If there's something that somebody would like to say, I would appreciate it.
But is it Aser Derabanan?
What? Which thing?
To put the meat that's raw, that's so close to Shabbos.
Let's put it this way. In many cases, it's osur midrabanan. I don't want to start with all the halachas right now, but you know that we have what is referred to as a blech on the stove, and although we're putting the pot on the stove Erev Shabbos, but if the food is not cooked, you know, to a certain degree, then you cannot leave it on the stove unless you have what is referred to as a covering, as a blech, which I'll explain what that really means in halacha and what the concept of it. But you're right. Sometimes it's also the Rabbanan, and I was very, very careful to say that I was talking about Minat Torah. I hope you all understood that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Doesn't matter.
Okay, everybody, you can have a good Shabbos, a wonderful Shabbos, and everybody
Thank
should
you.
Stay healthy and well and safe. And
Amen.
Amen.
You should
Thank
come
you.
Back soon.
Amen.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Hoffer.
You're
Thank
well.
You. Good night.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.